the playoffs.
Playoffs?
This is the playoffs.
Playoffs?
Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to the Rockcast. I am your host, Monty Colvin.
This guy's the worst.
Well, it's March, and that means March Madness. It also means the time has arrived for the top 10 playoffs.
Wow.
I've been reading your top 10 lists all year long that you've sent to me. And on this episode, I am going to crown a new champion. And here's how it's going to work. Out of all the lists I've gotten this year, I've narrowed it down to an Elite Eight. And let me just say, it wasn't easy because I got so many lists this year that I didn't even get to them all. And if you sent me a list and I did not read it yet, well, be patient. I'll try to get to as many as I can in the coming months, and you can be eligible for the playoffs next March.
Wow, what did I do to deserve this?
Now, just like the NCAA basketball tournament, I've broken it down into brackets. And even though I'm not very good at math, I can tell you that since it's an Elite Eight, there would be four brackets with two contestants in each bracket. You got that?
I'm incapable of understanding.
Well, all right then. In bracket number one, we've got Paul Morgan squaring off against Wayne Simmonds in the UK. Paul sent me a list of his top 10 favorite over-the-road places to eat.
Everything about this fascinates me.
Paul spends a lot of time on the road, and some of his favorite places to dine include Cracker Barrel, IHOP, Waffle House, and Dunkin' Donuts. And of course, if you know me, you know how irresistible donuts are to me. And therefore, it was an easy choice for me to put Paul into the final eight.
Who cares, ladies and gentlemen?
Now, Paul's opponent is Wayne in the UK. And Wayne may have had a bit of an advantage on a lot of you because he is an author. And his writing skills may have come in handy in crafting his top 10 list, which were top 10 reasons why God is awesome.
Hallelujah.
Now, I found this list interesting because Wayne is a professing atheist. And as I was reading this list, I kind of got the idea that Wayne was being a little sarcastic. For instance, number one on Wayne's list was, if you spell G-O-D backwards, you get dog. And dogs are awesome.
This man is blaspheming.
Other reasons why God is awesome included Jesus had awesome hair. He wrote an entire book without lifting a pen or striking a keyboard. And God hates Creed.
Everybody knows that.
So this was a tough one. Wayne showed a lot of creativity and cynical hatefulness, and that's always good. But I gotta be honest, Paul sent me a Christmas gift this year. And so in a mild upset, Paul moves on to the final four.
I find this fishy.
So congratulations, Paul. You earned it.
Somebody's got to call shenanigans on this.
In bracket number two, we've got Lou Martin with his top 10 songs with chick names going up against Jimmy the Freak with his top 10 metal bands with goat names.
Hardcore evil.
Once again, both of these were really good. Lou had songs like Eleanor Rigby, Peggy Sue, Aaliyah, and About Mrs. Leslie. But Jimmy came in extremely strong with bands that have goat in their name, such as Morbid Goat, Goat Hammer, and Hammer Goat. And even though you did a great job, Lou, Jimmy just took you inside and slam dunked on you. And therefore, Jimmy the Freak and his goat bands move on.
Yeah!
In bracket number three, we have David Haynes with his top 10 products that sound like Galactic Cowboy songs. going up against Lacey Mucklow and her top 10 favorite things about Power Prague 2014.
Nerdy.
Now, Dapper Dave's list was very clever, because he took GC songs and combined them with possible products that you might see at Walmart. And you ended up getting things like Mars Ranch Dip, Tranquility Seaweed, and Red Sun Dried Oregon Corn Nuts.
Delicious!
On the other hand, Lacey was the only female in 2014 to send me a list. And among her favorite things about the Power Prague Festival were air conditioning, free cupcakes, and hanging out with other nerds.
What?
Well, actually, I'm paraphrasing. Lacey said, I enjoyed meeting people who share similar musical tastes.
Same thing.
At any rate, as much as I'd love to have a woman in the final four, Dapper Dave showed that he put a lot of thought into his list, and it was extremely silly. And so David Haynes squeaks by and makes it into the semifinals. And that would leave one space to fill. And the final two contestants in this Elite Eight showdown are both from Baltimore. First coming in with his top 10 musicians that he wishes weren't dead is Gary in Baltimore. And Gary will be facing off against Chris in Baltimore with his top 10 favorite Christian bands.
Good God.
Now, Gary's list included dead musicians like Jimi Hendrix, Peter Steele from Typo Negative, and Lane Staley. While Chris's list contained the names of bands I had either never heard of or didn't like. And you may say, well, then how did he make it to the Elite Eight?
Good question.
Well, considering how many times I've said on this show that I don't really care for Christian music and I don't really respect the Christian music industry, I thought it took a certain amount of balls to send me that list.
Huge.
So kudos to you, Chris. But as you can clearly see, this was a runaway from the beginning. And a list of dead guys proves to be way overwhelming for a list of Christian bands, which included Audio Adrenaline, Pillar, and Chris's favorite band, Third Day. Really? Third Day. Your favorite band.
We don't know who they are.
But anyway, congratulations, Gary in Baltimore. You have reached the semifinals. So the final four is set. You've got Paul Morgan, Jimmy the Freak, Dapper David Haynes, and Gary in Baltimore. And one of those guys is going to be the new top 10 champion. So the final four is set, and I'll be getting to that in a little bit, but next I'm going to answer a couple questions. First, one of my favorite listeners, Joseph Glenn, says, "Hey, Monty, I know you're a martyr, but the Grammys are too brutal. Why do you suffer so much for us?"
Wouldn't you like to hear the answer?
Well, Joseph, I do it because I care. I figure no one should watch the Grammys, and after all, who has time besides me?
Nobody!
So out of the goodness of my heart, I watch it so you don't have to. And it's also just a good opportunity for me to make a bunch of hateful comments about the music industry.
Cheap shot artist.
Now, while we're on the topic of stuff on television, I got another question from Eric in Orange County. And he says, "Monty, have you seen the new Breaking Bad spinoff show called Better Call Saul? If you have, what do you think of it?" Well, as you all know, I'm a huge Breaking Bad fan. I love that series. And it's probably the best TV drama that I've ever seen. And when I saw there was going to be a spinoff of it, I was all in. And yes, I've seen three or four episodes of that so far, but I've got kind of mixed feelings about it. The first episode kind of put me to sleep, but then the second episode was riveting. And so I thought, awesome, this is going to be great. But then the last couple have kind of put me to sleep again, so I'm not sure. On one hand, it's kind of interesting to see some of the background of how Saul came about, but thus far, it is no Breaking Bad. But I will keep watching it and just hope it gets better, so we'll see. In the meantime, I went back and watched season one of Bates Motel on Netflix, and I really recommend that show.
What the hell is that?
If you've never seen it, it's basically Norman Bates and his mom when Norman was in high school. And it's not really scary at all. It's just a really well-written show with great actors.
Nobody's watching it. Nobody cares. Nobody wants to see it.
And recently, somebody else asked me what I thought of the Saturday Night Live 40th anniversary special. And you knew I had to watch that because I'm not sure if I've ever missed an episode of Saturday Night Live ever. And I'm going to really date myself right now, but I don't care because I have to admit that I saw live on TV the very first episode of Saturday Night Live.
He's old!
Yeah, I was a young lad then, but I turned it on and watched George Carlin host, and I've been watching it ever since. However, I'll also be honest and say I didn't really care for this special. I thought it was going to be kind of cool to see some of the old cast members come out, but frankly, they looked really old and some of them kind of bloated. It also made me kind of sad because it was a reminder how bad the show has been since, I don't know, Will Ferrell left.
Really awful.
So I was kind of disappointed in the reunion show, but I was even less thrilled when Rolling Stone magazine decided to rank all 141 cast members. Granted, I rarely agree with anything Rolling Stone has to say, and once again, they did not fail to nauseate me. I didn't really have a problem with Aykroyd and Belushi in the top 10, but when you have Amy Poehler at 8 and Tina Fey at 3, your list is a joke. I'm pretty sure the fact that they're Obama-loving liberals had something to do with how high they were on this list. But whoever the writers were that put them at 3 and 8 must have been high themselves. I also couldn't believe that Will Ferrell and Dana Carvey did not make the top 10.
I'm outraged!
But they did make my top 10, and starting at number 10, I have Norm MacDonald.
I don't know who that is.
I thought Norm was great when he did the news, and I loved his Burt Reynolds impersonation. So I put him in my top 10, but of course Rolling Stone, in comparison, had him at 135. That was over 60 spots lower than Brooks Wheelan. Remember him? Yeah, me neither. But anyway, number 9 on my list is David Spade, and number 8 was Daryl Hammond. He did a lot of great impressions, and the one he did of Al Gore was classic. When they did that skit during the presidential debates, he made Al Gore look like such a pussy, and I will always love him for that.
It was so good.
Number 7 on my list is Bill Murray. Number 6, I'm going to go with Adam Sandler. Number 5 is Mike Myers. Number 4, Chris Farley. And number 3, Phil Hartman. And yeah, let me see. Phil Hartman at number 3 or Tina Fey at number 3.
That's a no-brainer.
At number 2, I've got Dana Carvey. He did great impressions and came up with characters that we'll remember forever.
Well, isn't that special?
But at number 1, instead of having him at number 12 like Rolling Stone did, I have Will Ferrell. And I don't think I need to explain that. The guy's just a comic genius.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
As far as honorable mentions, I got Molly Shannon, Martin Short, and Eddie Murphy. So once again, I get it right and Rolling Stone gets it wrong. But what do you expect from a magazine that had Chuck Berry and Keith Richards above Eddie Van Halen in a greatest guitar player list?
Nothing!
Now, a common question I get asked a lot is, Monty, how's it going?
Softball question.
And my answer to that is usually, yeah, not too bad.
You're sure about that?
I mean, not a lot has changed lately. I still drive the Hellmobile.
Ah!
And I swear to God, there is hardly one thing on that vehicle that actually works. The other day I was trying to load something into it, and the hatchback door won't stay up, and it just comes down and cracks me right in the head. And just everything about it is falling apart, and I have no idea how long it's going to keep running. But on the bright side, there are a couple of advantages to driving a hunk of crap like this. Number one, if you get in a wreck and somebody smashes into the side of it, well, who cares? It's already been smashed in, and it looks like it's been in many wrecks already. And the best thing about it by far is that I never have to worry about anyone stealing it. I could leave the keys in there and have it running, and no one would take this thing. So if I go to the store, I just leave it unlocked, and I never have to worry about anyone messing with it.
Everything you touch turns to crap.
Of course, I told you a few months ago that Lindsay talked me into getting a cat, and Mr. Kitty continues to annoy the hell out of me. Instead of going in the litter box, he'll just walk over and take a dump right in front of it on the floor. To which Lindsay and the kids say, "Oh, isn't he adorable?" "Well, no." And Lindsay will say, "Well, yeah, but you love him, though, don't you?" And I'll say, "No."
You're mean.
That cat is trying to ruin my life. And it's because of things like this. The other day, I was walking up the stairs with a big plate of food. He comes over, gets in my way, and the next thing I know, I've dropped it all over the floor. And I was so pissed off, but he was just fine with it. He's like, "Oh, cool, food. It's on the floor. Fine with me." And that's because food is all he ever thinks about. It's his entire life. If I get up in the middle of the night, he's right there going, "Oh, food? Food?" And I'm like, "Get away from me and stop rubbing my leg, you useless animal."
Intolerant!
But you see, he's not the only one in my house who is obsessed with food. I also have an 8-year-old boy. And it's not that he's hungry all the time or that he needs food. He's just concerned about it. When Lindsay gets home at night, it's, "Hey mom, what's for supper?" And if she says anything other than chicken nuggets, it's, "I don't want that." But unlike Mr. Kitty, I can deal with the boy being a head case because he's finally starting to like sports.
Hell yeah!
I mean, sure, if given the choice, he'd still rather watch TV or pretend he's a Power Ranger. But he just finished up his first year of basketball, and at the beginning of the year, I showed him how to shoot and taught him some fundamentals. But after a couple of games, he was kind of getting discouraged, and one day he went, "You know, Monty, I think I'm the worst player on the team." And I said, "No, Draven, you're doing fine. And the most important thing is that you hustle, and you keep trying. And besides, I've seen the teammates that you're playing with, and they all suck."
"Yes, they do."
"Yeah, there's not one of them that's any good."
"They're all terrible."
And so I think that made him feel better.
"Oh, that was very kind of you."
And by the end of the year, he was actually knocking down a few baskets every game. So I'm proud of the boy, and if I can get him to eat a vegetable a couple of times a month, I think he's going to grow up to be a fine young man.
Let's hope so.
I also got an email from Phil Robinson, and he said, "Hey, Monty, I found a couple of songs that you may not have heard yet. The first one is from The Darkness, and it's called Barbarian. And yeah, I had seen a video to that, Phil, and I like it. It's apparently from an upcoming album, and I'm looking forward to that. Let's check it out."
No more. Shut this in the rain.
The next song Phil referred to me was from Faith No More. It's a new single called Superhero. Phil says, I love the distorted bass that Billy Gould is laying down on this, and he's a Zon player as well. Yeah, I saw a video of them. It looks like they're playing a record store or something. And sure enough, their bass player is using a Zon just like I do. And why not? Those basses are awesome, and let's check out this song by Faith No More. I'm not crazy about that. I used to be a huge Faith No More fan, but I don't know that I am so much anymore. But that's a little taste of their new album, and when it comes out, I'll check it out, and I'll see what I think of the rest of it. Returning now to the top 10 playoffs.
Oh, wow!
We've reached the semifinals, and in bracket number one, we've got Paul Morgan against Jimmy the Freak. And in the other bracket, we've got David Haynes against Chris in Baltimore. Now, the first matchup between Paul Morgan and Jimmy the Freak looks like a good one. Both of these men are big guys, they both have beards, and they're both bass players. But most importantly, they had great lists. Just to refresh your memory, Paul had top 10 favorite over-the-road food places, and Jimmy had the top 10 metal bands that have goat in their name. So in other words, you had places like Bojangles Fried Chicken and In-N-Out Burger going up against Motor Goat and my personal favorite, Goat Whore.
Whoa!
So it's obviously a very hard decision. And when I take into consideration that Paul sent me Christmas gifts, it's even more difficult. But at the end of the day, when I see Scorched by the Flaming Goat on a top 10 list, Cracker Barrel is just no match. And therefore, Jimmy the Freak makes his way into the finals. Congratulations, Jimmy. Your opponent will either be David Haynes and his top 10 products that sound like Galactic Cowboy songs, or Gary in Baltimore with 10 musicians he wishes weren't dead.
Really pleasant.
Now, first of all, David is kind of a newcomer. I don't recall that he was in the playoffs last year like Gary was, but he came through with some very original ideas like Mrs. Fields' digestive prune circles and Bright Horizons' fat-burning caffeine supplements.
Isn't the name terrific?
Although I think Gary in Baltimore dug up some people that we'll all miss, including Dimebag Darrell and Cliff Burton.
Oh! Get out! He died?
So this is a tough one, and one that took me a while to decide. But based on his creativity and overall silliness, David Haynes makes his way into the championship. So congratulations to you, David Haynes. You have made it into the finals against Jimmy the Freak, where anything could happen. Well, that is some exciting stuff, but let's get back to some random stuff. And here's a question from Sean McClure, and he says, "Hey, Monty, I was wondering, have you ever done any recordings with any women on any of your albums, or ever performed with any women on stage, like having background vocals or harmony vocals on your songs or theirs?" Well, Sean, I'm trying to think, and as far as Galactic goes, I know there was a girl that worked at the studio when we did Machine Fish, and her name was Leah Liberator.
I think you're making this up.
And she was the secretary, but she also had a beautiful voice, so we had her do some opera stuff. And I don't really remember if it made it on the album or not, but she did do some talking parts. And that's her saying some stuff at the end of Psychotic Companion. But that's all I can really think of at the moment. But as far as on my own, I did work with a girl named Shyla Smith for a while. And I wrote a couple songs for her, and we recorded them, and I thought it was going pretty well, but we never did finish anything. However, the one female who has been on every single Crunchy album I've ever done was my daughter,
Zoe.
And since she was about 1 or 2 years old, she's either been saying something in baby talk or saying the end or, you know, having actual parts on the album where she was yelling something. And Zoe's 15 now, and if I ever do another album, she will definitely be singing on there in some way, because the kid's got a great voice. But thanks for the question, Sean.
Now let's go to something else.
I don't know if any of you guys have been watching That Metal Show on VH1 Classic, but they started a new season a couple of weeks ago. And so far they've had Geddy Lee and John Petrucci from Dream Theater and Anthrax. And, of course, they do Stump the Trunk with Eddie Trunk, and he always gets real irritated when anyone asks him something that he does not know. And the other day, Rockcast listener John Paul Jorgeringo emailed me and said that Eddie Trunk was recently up there in Wisconsin, and they played a little Stump the Trunk. I think it was some kind of festival that John Paul's son was playing at. He's in a band. And Eddie Trunk was there, and he was taking questions. And John Paul had this question for Eddie. What was the name of the real band who played the Sons of Thunder in the movie Airheads? And, of course, the answer is Galactic Cowboys, but apparently Eddie said autograph. Well, nice try, Eddie, but I'm sure if it would have had something to do with Kiss or UFO, you would have nailed it.
Yeah!
Speaking of UFO, they've got a new album. It's called Conspiracy of Stars. Let's check it out.
Gates of Babylon open, fell upon our prey. Everything was taken, it was the summer of our day. Come here, my skanky toady, let me whisper in your ear. If you think you're fooling anyone, baby, it's not very clear. Troubles in the detail, secrets safe with me. The devil's in the detail, we're all out to see. The devil's in the detail, underneath the stone. The devil.
You know, back in the late 70s, two of my favorite bands were UFO and Thin Lizzy. And they both had great guitar players and singers named Phil. And now here it is in 2015, and they both kind of have new albums out now. And I say kind of because Thin Lizzy is now called Black Star Riders. But you probably already knew that, so let me just shut up and play something off their new CD that's called Killer Instinct. This is called Bullet Blues.
I put your picture up on my wall, I drag till you came alive. Your baby blues said nothing at all, I sat and watched you until I cried.
You know, for me, UFO will never be as good without Michael Schenker. And Thin Lizzy / Black Star Riders will never be as good without Phil Lynott.
I mean, it's obvious. Come on.
But if I was going to pick between the two of these new albums, I would definitely go with Black Star Riders. They've still got Scott Gorham in the band and the twin lead guitars, so hell yeah.
Please, my bullet blues. What
time now for the highly anticipated championship round of the Top 10 Playoffs. You've been waiting all year for this, and it's finally here.
This is the playoffs!
Now, recapping what's happened so far, Jimmy the Freak, the bass-playing maniac from Texas... Hey, wait a minute. I was the bass-playing maniac from Texas. What happened?
Those days are over.
Oh, well, anyway, Jimmy defeated Lou Martin and Paul Morgan to get where he is now. And David Haynes defeated Lacey Mucklow and Chris in Baltimore. David sent me his amazing list back in November that included products that sound like GC songs, including Grandmother's Closet Girdle Protectors, Ants in My Pants Itching Powder, and Swimming in December Frostbite Rub. I knew it was a good one the second I read it, but honestly, I'm a little surprised it made it to the championship.
I can't believe it!
But it did, and matching up against this newcomer will be Jimmy the Freak, whose list included an array of metal bands who have GOAT in their name. But only one can lay claim to the title of Rockcast Top 10 Champion. And it is now with great pleasure that I announce the winner of the finals and top 10 champion for 2014 is... Jimmy the Freak!
Yeah!
Congratulations, Jimmy. You sent me that list about a year ago, and it stood the test of time. You are the king of the top 10 list and the winner of an amazing prize package.
The contents of the amazing prize package will be determined shortly before its delivery. All contestants will have the right to refuse the amazing prize package based on the fact that it may or may not be all that amazing. If upon receiving the amazing prize package, you experience high blood pressure, dizziness, or nausea, please consult a physician. Symptoms may be the result of complete and utter disappointment.
Once again, congratulations, Jimmy. Just drop me an email and give me your address. And as soon as I can get around to it and think of something to send you, I will.
Yeah, cheap.
I still haven't sent last year's winner, Jimmy G, anything, but I'll get to it.
That sounds like a big scam.
But anyway, thanks to everybody who entered this year, and keep them coming, because I will be starting a new season very soon. But since Jimmy the Freak is the man of the hour right now, let's take a listen to his list in its entirety. He wanted me to read it as if I was the announcer at a basketball game for his list of metal bands with goat names, and it went something like this. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Jimmy the Freak's top 10 band names that have goat in them. At number 10, they're a black metal band from Switzerland. Please welcome Goat Messiah. At number 9, they're a thrash black metal band from the USA and a personal favorite of mine, Goat Whore. At number 8, they're from Chile. You don't want to mess with Morbid Goat Fornicator. At number 7, they play doom metal. They are Goat Snake. At number 6, they're a black metal band from Finland, Goat Hammer. At number 5, they're from Brazil, and they have apparently never heard of Goat Hammer. Please welcome Hammer Goat. At number 4, from the USA, they're brutal, they're black, and they're metal. Please welcome Black Goat of the Woods. At At number three, this band is from Germany and they're really pissed off. Please put your hands together for Motor Goat. At number two, from Chile, they play deathcore. They are Scorched by the Flaming Goat. And at number one on Jimmy the Freak's list of goat bands, won't you please welcome from the US of A, Super Heavy Goat Ass. Let's wrap things up with some news with our news girl, Lindsay. What do you got for us today, sexy thing?
Well, Monty, in our top story, a Cleveland news anchor named Christy Capel was suspended from her duties after her offensive on-air comment where she used the word jigaboo.
Oh my God, did you just say jigaboo?
Well, Christy Capel said it.
Right.
You know, I would never say a word like jigaboo.
Well, of course not. You'd never say anything like that.
Oh, hell no. You'll never hear a disgusting word like jigaboo ever come out of my mouth.
Absolutely not.
That would just be wrong.
Yes, and totally offensive.
Yeah, really.
Well, so what was the deal? Why would this horrible woman say the word jigaboo?
No one is really sure. And she's claiming she didn't realize what jigaboo meant when she referred to Lady Gaga's performance on the Oscars as jigaboo music.
Jigaboo music.
That's correct. Jigaboo music.
Holy God Almighty, I am personally appalled and outraged.
Oh, I am sickened.
Yeah. Well, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Lindsay, but I believe the term for Lady Gaga's music is actually techno or African-American jigaboo music.
Well, I'm not sure, Monty. I would call it crap. But I'm not a fan of jigaboo music, but I do know a racist when I hear one. And in my opinion, Christy Capel shouldn't be allowed on TV again.
Oh, I know that's right.
Not only was Capel suspended for using the word jigaboo, but she was also forced by the Cleveland news station to take sensitivity training. And if you ask me, she got off easy.
Yeah, you go, girl.
Though Capel has apologized since then for saying the word jigaboo, there is really no way to repair the damage and pain that such a disgusting word has caused.
Well, yes, Lindsay, it's really quite tragic.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully the blacks will find it in their hearts to forgive this ignorant bimbo and realize, she's just a stupid cracker.
Right.
And if the truth were known, I'm sure she meant no harm by saying the word jigaboo.
Well, maybe.
Because, you know, it is actually kind of a funny word.
What?
Jigaboo. You know, jigaboo. Jigaboo.
Jigaboo.
Jigaboo.
Jigaboo.
Jigaboo. Okay. All right, what else you got?
Well, last week, the owners of a restaurant in Finland broke the record for the world's tallest hamburger.
Oh my, that is interesting.
The 16-foot-tall monster burger weighed 220 pounds by the end, and the owner claims he built it just for fun.
Oh, well, I'm sure it was.
After the record was set, the restaurant donated the 250 beef burgers to a local dog shelter.
Aw, how nice.
Yeah, isn't that sweet?
Yes, it really is.
When asked about the starving children in Africa, the restaurant owner was quoted as saying, "Screw 'em."
Oh, well, that is heartwarming.
And finally, in the world of sports, LeBron James.
Yeah?
LeBron.
Yeah, what about him?
LeBron, 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 LeBron James. LeBron, King James, LeBron, LeBron.
All right, that's enough.
LeBron, LeBron.
Stop.
LeBron, LeBron, LeBron James,
okay.
King James.
I get it.
Best player on the planet, LeBron James.
Yeah, whatever.
LeBron, LeBron, LeBron
All
James,
right.
King James. Best player on the planet, LeBron
Lindsay.
James, LeBron, LeBron.
Please.
LeBron, LeBron James.
I get your point.
King James, LeBron, LeBron,
Please,
LeBron.
Please, Lindsay, just stop.
Had enough?
Yeah, I've had enough of LeBron James to last me the rest of my life.
Yeah, Me too.
All right. Well, I think we can all agree on that.
And that's the news.
Well, thank you, Lindsay. And that's going to do it for another episode of the Rockcast. If you want to get a hold of me, you can contact me on Facebook or at my website, MontyColvin.net. I'll be back soon with another episode, but I'm going to leave you with a song off the new Falling in Reverse CD. The name of the CD is Just Like You, and I love this song, and I hope you do too. But that's going to do it for me for now. So until next time, this is Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me. And
rock on.
That's it. It's over.